Okay, we are continuing. Let's see where we're continuing from. So now Prabhupada's defining Vaidhi Bhakti. He says there, when there's no attachment, no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or the order of Shastra, that's Vaidhi Bhakti. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. And Prabhupada in Madhulila, where he translates this verse, he gives the example that a child sent to school by force to get an education. He doesn't want to go to school. But his parents shove him out the door and, stick him on a bus, and next thing he knows he's in a classroom and he's, forced to do all this stuff. But when he gets a little bit of a taste for education, then he gets to like it. Maybe he becomes a scholar. He wants to read books, more and more books, and this is interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Now it's no longer that he has to do all these things. A, B, C, D. Why do we have to learn this? No, now it's, I like it. You meet a child, I like going to school. Now he's got some taste. And the same child in the beginning is, I don't want to go. So Prabhupada gives that example. When it's, I'm doing it just because I have to do it. I don't have much spontaneous attraction, but I'm doing it. So that's Vaidhi. In the beginning, I don't have such tremendous enthusiasm to chant 16 rounds a day. 16, why so many? But by the order of the spiritual master, all right, I have to complete 16 rounds. By force. There's no question if I like it, I don't like it. In fact, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, there's no question of understanding. Whether you're chanting perfectly, not perfectly, attentively or inattentively. Shastra says you must, there's no question of understanding. You just have to follow the instructions. The spiritual master said chant, then you have to chant. Prabhupada said, when there's quality, then there's no longer any force. Then he thinks, why 16 rounds? Why not 60 rounds? That means he's got some taste. Okay. Now Prabhupada gives an example of Vaidhi Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschetitabhaya. This is Sukadeva Goswami instructing Parikshit Maharaj that if you really want to be fearless, because the king had asked, if one wants to be free from fear at the time of death, what does he have to do? So the sage said, yes, if what you want is to be free from fear, then you have to hear and chant and remember the personality of God. And Prabhupada gives an extended commentary on this verse. It's not that hear and chant anything, but it's Bhagavan Hari Isha, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. That name one has to chant, that personality of Godhead one has to remember. And then Prabhupada mentions from Bhagavad Gita, then you'll never be vanquished. Which means you'll be freed from being thrown into the lower species of life for repeated entanglement in birth and death. that this point is there, that it was considered vaidhi bhakti, because it's not that the king was spontaneously attracted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. But there was some other purpose, getting free from fear. Therefore, he was ordered by the, he was advised by the spiritual master, then you should do this. Okay. Now, we're coming to the regulative principles. Vaidhi bhakti means, vaidhi comes from what word? Vidhi. Vidhi. Vidhi means rules. Vidhi means rule. From that, you know, lengthening of the vowel, vidhi becomes vaidhi. So vaidhi bhakti means rules. So, okay, shastras have so many rules. There are thousands and thousands. You know, we're always finding out about new rules, right? Oh, you got to do this on the Ekadasi, and you know, you got to do that on the Dwadasi, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you know, this is how you should change your Brahmin thread, and you know, on a Tuesday you should do this, and on a Thursday you should do that, and you shouldn't eat this. And, you know, wow, there's millions of rules all over the place. It says in this book this, and that book that. So therefore, the rules have been prioritized for us in Padma Purana. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, vismartavyo najatu chit, sarve vidhi nishedhasyur, etayor eva kinkara. Smartavya means remember. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. One should always remember Vishnu. And vismartavya means forgetting Vishnu. Vismartavyo najatuche. One should always remember Vishnu, Krishna, and never forget Krishna. Sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkura. Kinkura means servant. Ayi nandatunuja kinkura. Kinkara, servants. All the other rules and regulations are servants of these two. All the other rules and regulations, these are the real rules. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And all the other rules are just meant to serve these two purposes. This is the essence of all the rules and regulations. Rules and regulations, vidhi and nished. Nished, vidhi means rules, you must. And nished means you must not. Just that you'll see sometimes written somewhere, dhumrapan nishedhe. No smoking. The same word is there in Hindi Bengal. No smoking. Nished, it's forbidden. So rules and regulations means there's something you gotta do and there's something you gotta not do. The positive rules are called vidhi, and the negative rules, don't do it, it's called nished. That's it. That's the whole rules and regulations. The yes column and the no column. Those are the rules and regulations. You've got to show up for work by such and such time. You can't park in the boss's parking spot. You know, there's anything. There's positive and negative. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam vijatavya. Always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is the spiritual master's business. Yena kenu upayena. Somehow or other. And we saw Prabhupada was very innovative sometimes. Somehow or other, how to get these guys to get their minds on Krishna. The other rules and regulations, if Prabhupada, I told the other day how Prabhupada just gave the deity worship, see them. The senior devotees should see them once a day. You should offer them some pumpkin. You know, the rules and regulations, like any Brahmin would faint if he saw, you know, what we were doing as deity worship. It's like ridiculous. But Prabhupada saw that this is the way to get their minds on Krishna. Get them doing this, then we'll introduce the other rules and regulations. The first thing is to get the basic principle down. So the spiritual master, or so many rules and regulations, we'll find out later, you've got to have Tulsi beads. What Tulsi beads in New York City? You know, what street do you find the Tulsi Walla on? You know, Green Street, or St. Mark's Place? So Prabhupada sent us to the hardware store. Not me, I came a little later. Sent the devotees to the hardware store. And they were buying, you know, round beads, and stringing them, attach one end of the string to the radiator in the storefront, and, you know, slip it on, tie it on, slip it on, tie it on. Those were the beads. No Tulsi beads. Tilak, what Tilak, you know? They got some stuff from the pharmacy and made tilak out of it. Yeah, so it didn't strictly follow all the rules and regulations, but the essence was there. How to think of Krishna. How to think of Krishna, how not to forget Krishna. And if those principles are followed, you've got the whole thing. Everything else is a servant of that. And if you don't have those things, what's the use of all your rules and regulations? There's so many, what is that? Shatkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada a Vaishnava guru nasya Vaishnava sapacho. You may be a very expert in mantras and tantras, all of, you know, so many things, but if he's not a Vaishnava, if he's not thinking of Vishnu, then he can't be a bona fide guru. And even if he's a dog eater, he can be a guru. The real essence of the whole thing is Krishna consciousness. Always to think of Krishna, never to forget Krishna. Now, let's see what we find here. And Prabhupada said, this is actual samadhi. Now, let's see. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. Now Prabhupada's going to bring us to a discussion of varnashram. Four varnas, four ashramas, and we know that there are all sorts of duties in these different orders. First thing is that Prabhupada said, these principles apply to everyone. It's not that, well, I'm a Vaishya, so I don't have to think of Krishna. Or whatever. Or, well, I'm not a sannyasi, so... No, this is for everyone. Brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, everyone. What is that? Yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam sakarmanam tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati mam. Everyone can become perfect by performing his own prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. Everyone can become perfect. So there are four social orders, four spiritual orders, and they should all perform their prescribed duties for the sake of Krishna. What is that? Atapumbir dija shreshta varnashrama vipagasha swanushtitasya dharmasya sansiddhi haritosha. Perfection of their prescribed duties is to please Krishna. And what is the reverse? Dharma svanustita pum sang vispaksena katasuya notpada yeji didatim shravayari hikeva shramayari hikeva. If someone's performing all the prescribed duties but he doesn't develop an attraction to Krishna kata vispaksena katasuya, if he doesn't develop an attraction to hearing about Krishna, then he's simply wasting his life. Because the purpose is to get this attraction for hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, this taste that we're talking about. It's not simply rules and regulations. It's not simply activity, but it's rules and regulations, activity, meant to focus the mind on Krishna. Where's the question of love of Krishna if I'm not even thinking of Krishna? The first thing is to fix that mind on Krishna. Savai mana Krishna paradhanandi. Now, the next thing is that... Yes. Varashama acharavata purushena pama puma Vishnu radite panta nanyata doshakaram. To perform these prescribed duties of varnashram is very good, but the test is that Krishna should be pleased. By my activities I should please Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes a verse here, I'm forgetting exactly the Sanskrit verse, but the meaning is that if one performs all of the activities of his particular order, but he doesn't please Krishna, then he falls down from his position. It's not coming to me right now. That verse. But that's the meaning. But if he doesn't satisfy Krishna, then he'll fall down from his position. Or he's already fallen from his position. He may be officially Brahmin, Kshatriya, or householder, or sannyasi. But if he's not acting in such a way as to please Krishna, which means pleasing the spiritual master, there's no difference between the two, then he's striking out. He's a failure. Prabhupada gives some description of what those prescribed duties are. For the Brahmin, Prabhupada says not just eating for Krishna, but it's preaching. For the Kshatriya, it's protecting the people, and Prabhupada said especially to protect them from the onslaughts of Maya. For the Vaishyas, it's producing food grains and protecting cows. And for the Shudras, it's service to others. But Prabhupada says, actually, now the people who are calling themselves Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or whatever, he said, they're nothing. Actually, such people are without status. They're nothing. They're just in name, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya. Even the Shudras aren't even Shudras. The people are nothing. Why? They're out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they're not Krishna conscious. The whole Varnashram system is a hierarchy with Krishna at the top. And all of these different people are woven together, you know, in this cloth with four threads going this way and four threads going that way, all connected to Krishna. And if you disconnect the whole business from Krishna, you've got nothing. Prabhupada gave the example, you take a branch and disconnect it from the tree. You can call it a branch, but it's trash. So all of these rules, all of these social orders and spiritual orders are very good insofar as they're connected with Krishna. As soon as anything is disconnected from Krishna, it's useless. Then Prabhupada says that by following the orders, social and spiritual orders, one can satisfy Krishna and the whole society will get all the necessities of life. Everything will be taken care of. But then Prabhupada says, without waiting for necessities, is that there? Here? Yeah, even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, people will be happy prosecuting their duties in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave that, there was this comment, somebody asked him, what if you're doing all this stuff all this service, and there's no Krishna. You know, at the end, somehow or other, you dedicated your life to Krishna. And there, you know, at the end, real fact is that there's no Krishna. Prabhupada said, still it's worth it. Where do I have that? Let's see. Some newspaper reporter asked, you're doing everything for Krishna, you're chanting, you're reading, you're preaching, you're writing, you're developing your ISKCON, all for Krishna, but what if at the end there's no Krishna? Because even if there were no Krishna, I'd still do the same things because they're so nice. I'm chanting, I'm dancing, taking prasad, discussing Krishna, associating with devotees. It's so nice, even if there wasn't any Krishna, still I wouldn't do anything different. That's the advanced stage, where that's spontaneous devotional service. We're under the guidance of the advanced devotees, and we're being trained that to become advanced, you follow these regulative principles. And Prabhupada, finally at the end, he says that, anyway, since the Varnashram is so lost at the present moment, just let everybody do whatever they're doing. Stay in their own occupation, whatever it is, and just serve Krishna. Give the result to Krishna. Then everything will be adjusted. And then Prabhupada quotes that the regulative principles of devotional service, any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures, and aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. So that if one regularly executes such service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, he gradually rises to the stage of pure devotion. I think there was a good comment here. Let me just find this. Yeah, Dhanadhar Maharaj comments, it doesn't mean that we just quickly disregard all the other injunctions. That we're just going to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna and ditch all the other rules and regulations. Because these are going to help us in devotional service. How will they help us? We have to take direction from the spiritual master. It's not that we just find all the rules and regulations in the scriptures and start, you know, following every rule in the book. But we take direction from the spiritual master. This you should do. This you shouldn't do. This don't worry about. This is very important. Guidance of the spiritual master is so valuable in enabling us to get the contours of what to do or what not to do. One godbrother, Pradumna, he had one of these panjikas, you know, the calendars that tell you what to do, you know, what day is what. And they have lots of advice between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you shouldn't do this. Between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, you shouldn't do this. Don't travel east at such and such time. Don't, you know, on such and such day, don't do this. Prabhupada said, if you follow all these rules and regulations, you can't do anything. There was the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Someone was following Ekadasi. Prabhupada said, that means fasting. Prabhupada said, feed him and send him out preaching. So the spiritual master tells us, this is important. This don't worry about.
we'll come to some of these things that, you know, that are there. And we'll see how Prabhupada adjusted them. There's lots of fun stories about, we'll deal with them as we deal with these different rules and regulations, how Prabhupada dismissed some of them and emphasized others as being very important. So Prabhupada was like the expert, he was the expert in adjusting Krishna consciousness, especially for the modern world, especially for the Western countries, but actually for everywhere, to make it practical, to make it work, powerful, to make it effective, to make it expandable, not just that, you know, 15 super brahmacharis in an ashram somewhere could do it, and the rest of the world, tough luck. But Prabhupada, thinking very deeply about all of these things, made the necessary adjustments. Some things he emphasized again and again and again and again. Some things he didn't give much importance to. So we have to pick up these directions from the acharya and see, from our spiritual master also. You know, there was a reading Prabhupada's book, think, well, this is the most important thing, that's the most important thing. But our own spiritual master, even sometimes this is the most important thing, but not for you. For you it's something else. Or even if you try to do that other thing, you'll never do it. This is for you. So the spiritual master's business is to see how to fix the disciple's mind on Krishna. Not that everyone has to do the same thing. But for one person it's one way, another person it's another way, another person it's another way. And that requires, that's the duty of the spiritual master, to find out the ways and means. Some questions, comments?
Can't hear Prabhupada write spiritual master, but in a way it's the responsibility is institutionalized for us in terms of our engagement.
Well, yes and no. Partly it's institutionalized, yes, because there's an institution and there are, you know, set ways of doing things. But the spiritual master may, you know, personally look at your situation and say, you know, what are you doing this for? It's not just mechanical. It's an institution, but it's not just mechanical. We've got like this machine and you just turn the handle and everyone goes through and they come out, you know, put the stuff in one side and the spaghetti comes out the other side. It's not like that. It's not just a mechanical process. It's a process, you know. Process means start with something, you end with something by going through some procedures. But it's not just mechanical. Not just that all these same things are done according to some cookie cutter arrangement. It's personal. The disciple is a person, the spiritual master is a person, and the spiritual master sees, for this person this is good. And the institution should be arranged in such a way that it has people who are serving the spiritual master by helping guide those disciples. And those people should be expert also. It's not just that the spiritual master is the great expert and everybody below the spiritual master is a kind of a jerk. You know, who just fills in forms and assigns tasks and, you know, collects the money at the end of the day. The temple president should be a very spiritually advanced person. Sankirtan leader should be a very advanced person. The devotees who are guiding, you know, senior devotees who are guiding the junior devotees, they should all be advanced persons. Everyone should become advanced in Krishna consciousness so that they'll be able to help those who are under their charge. And for you, what, you're wasting your time doing this. You should be doing that. You know, you're just doing mechanical things. You could do something much more valuable. You could do something, this would be more inspiring for you. Right? It's not just the, you know, an institution in the sense of being a set formulaic agglomeration of procedures with officials who see that the procedures are carried out. There has to be life there. There has to be inspiration on the part of the leaders also. They should be they should, that means they have to follow the regulative principles. If the leaders don't strictly follow the sadhana bhakti that we're talking about, they're not going to have spontaneous, genuinely spontaneous devotion. They may have spontaneous other things, but they're not going to have genuine spiritual advancement. So what are they going to be able to do for the people under them? They'll have their own problems, what to speak of helping others. So it's essential that those who are leaders follow these principles. They should always, first of all, they should always be thinking of Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. They should be following, we come to Rupa Sanatana Goswami, look at their regulative principles. It said Sanatana Goswami's sadhana was like it was in stone, like it was carved in stone. And, you know, they were, you know, Hey Radhe, Bhajadevi, Kech, Olalita, they were in highest stages of ecstatic devotion, prema, love of Krishna. But they were following regular principles in such a way that, you know, we can only look. There's so many dandavats, so many rounds, so many things. The leaders themselves have to be spiritually advanced by following the rules and regulations. And by following the rules and regulations, they'll get inspiration and they'll come up with ideas. We could start a temple here. We could start a preaching center here. We could have a reading room. We could have a restaurant. We could send out a party. We could do this. We could do that. We could have lots and lots of ideas coming from genuine spiritual inspiration, coming from following the regulative principles. And if the leaders don't follow the regulative principles, then everything starts to decline. It either just becomes plodding, you know, routine, or it becomes contaminated because other things start getting in there. So inspiration should be very strongly maintained by strong sadhana. We are out of time. So questions hold, if there are questions that matter, which I'm sure there are, you wouldn't ask them. Hold them for tomorrow and remind me at the beginning of the day that we still have some questions to deal with. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.